You're listening to Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. We're live online at kpcg.fm. Have a live link, too, at thetrumpet.com. Thanks for joining us here on this Monday. Dwight Falk and Abraham Blondeau with you here today. And a hot weekend here in the Edmond, Oklahoma City area. Going to be hot this week, too. If you like 100 degrees, it's going to be great.
I'm sure that everyone likes 100 degrees. I don't see anything wrong with it.
I saw a story yesterday in the news up in Chicago. Some U.S. postal workers, the air conditioning went out in their building they were working in, and they had to send over the ambulance and fire trucks. It was over 100 degrees in there, and so they had some problems, some heat-related problems, and they said, "We're not coming back to work till you fix that air conditioning," which that sounds about right. It's hard to work in those conditions.
Yeah.
In a building like that, it's hot outside, but then you get inside and it just gets hot and stuffy and all those people in there. So sometimes the male people have had a reputation for getting a little upset over things. And, but this would be a reason to get upset.
Yeah, it's a good idea to keep them cool and collected. but also, it's dangerous too to work in those kind of conditions. I mean, just medically too. I mean, we're used to air conditioning over here, but other countries where there isn't, there are problems too with people who work in air conditioned facilities. So yeah, hopefully they get it fixed so people can get their mail and all their packages on time.
Yeah, you want the mail people to be happy. We're going to talk about some headlines today. Also, the Key of David program and the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. We'll preview those. Grant Turgeon will be stopping by with an interesting story about the campaign and what messages are the candidates sending via social media. Social media is a whole other branch of those campaigns now that didn't exist several years ago. Hard to believe, but there was a time before social media. And then we'll talk about some things that have happened on this day in history as well. We'll do all of that today on this edition of Trumpet Radio Live. The Olympics are coming up here pretty soon, going to start in about a week or so, and so people are somewhat concerned about Rio. An expert to Rio athletes, he has a warning for them, just a small thing. He says, don't put your head underwater. So if you're one of the people out there in the water, that would be somewhat difficult, I would think. if you're swimming, if you're, well, certainly if you're diving, but I imagine that'll all be in pools, so they'll probably be okay. But people that might be out on some of the more natural water, they say be careful. Just days ahead of the Olympic Games, the waterways of Rio de Janeiro are as filthy as ever, contaminated with raw human sewage, teeming with dangerous viruses and bacteria, according to a 16-month-long study commissioned by the Associated Press. So they have made, I think, some efforts to clean things up, but it appears that it's as bad as it's ever been.
Yeah, you can't clean the amount of waste that's been put in there for years in just a matter of months. And if I was a swimmer, I think I'd saran wrap my entire body and hope for the best. Because, yeah, just a, I don't know, just unprecedented conditions probably to perform in. I mean, I don't think anyone gets in that water all year round.
They say not only are some 1,400 athletes at risk of getting violently ill in water competitions, but the AP's tests indicate that tourists also face potentially serious health risks on the golden beaches of Ipanema and Copacabana, famous from songs. The AP survey of the Aquatic Olympic and Paralympic venues has revealed consistent and dangerously high levels of viruses from the pollution, a major black eye on Rio's Olympic project that has set off alarm bells among sailors, rowers, and open water swimmers. So those are some of the events that will be held in that water. They say there's been a lot of talk about how dirty the water is and all the viruses, said Finnish team sailor Nura Ruskola. He said, I'm mentally prepared for this. Some days the water is totally okay, and some days there are bad days. So let's just hope they're not out there on the bad days. They say it looks good, like if you just look at the water, in some places not, but for the most part it looks okay. You'd think it's fine, but there's a lot of pollutants in there.
Right, yeah. Be interesting to see how they televise it and how they cover it, and like you said, hopefully it's a good day when these events happen. but maybe a lot of people are going to watch to see if anything does happen. Because I wouldn't be surprised if ratings spike really high just because of people interested in watching how the athletes react and just see if anything happens. Hopefully it doesn't, but I don't know. Probably will if the law of average is correct.
I think they fished another human body out of there last week. That was the second one that I've heard of.
Right.
So bad situation there. And like you said, I think the Olympics are always exciting just because of the all of the excitement going on, all of the big ceremonies, the sports, the competition. But then there is this added interest, I guess, this year in terms of, are people going to be healthy? Are they going? Is there going to be some sort of an attack? Because there have been threats. They have arrested people. Hopefully nothing bad happens, but there is a chance. I don't remember an Olympics being quite this, people being quite this nervous about it going into it. So it's interesting, and there's a lot of interesting history about Olympics. We've got some that we're going to talk about on the history section as well. So we'll see how it goes with the Rio Olympics. Pokemon Go, one of our favorite topics here on Trumpet Radio Live, only because it's just so interesting. There's some problems with it, as you may have guessed from Washington Post. Pokemon Go's unexpected side effect, injuries. People are getting hurt. This is a post. There's a Pokemon Go Reddit page where people post topics about only Pokemon Go. And so this person put a tweet on there, or they wrote on there, Pokemon Go put me in the emergency room last night. Not even 30 minutes after the release last night, I slipped and fell down a ditch, said the Reddit user. Fractured the fifth metatarsal, there we go, bone in my foot. 6 to 8 weeks for recovery. I told all the doctors I was walking my dog. LOL. Watch where you're going, folks. So people, and I don't know if you've seen anybody playing. I've seen people doing it. And you were walking, but you're not looking at where you're going. And that could be a problem.
Right. Yeah, I see them. Usually it's busy places because they put the Pokemon or the places where they want people to go at popular spots most of the time. But usually there's a lot of traffic, or sometimes it's at night or in a ditch or off a cliff in some instances.
Yeah.
And even before this, people, they would text and walk, do the same thing or watch videos or play other games and have the same effect. But this one's just a little more engaging, I think, and dangerous in this way. And quite a story to be told if you do get injured playing this video game that something happened. But even driving, I get worried because you see people walking. You're not sure if they're just going to walk in front of your car or what exactly is going to go.
Well, there's another problem too that's, I guess, potentially more serious, and that is that some people are playing Pokemon while they're driving.
Right.
And that's highlighted here as well, where they say that that's an issue that people are talking about. And, of course, they make the point that you should never, never do that, but people do. There's another write-up here. This one's from Fox. It says, when you are driving, how often do you see other drivers checking their phones while behind the wheel? I always see that. I saw somebody 2 days ago turning the corner in town on their phone. They were turning the corner and not even looking at the road, just looking right at their phone. Or at something below the steering wheel. My guess would be it was a phone. They kind of have that telltale look, and it's like, wow. But anyway, so people have been distracted with texting and driving and so forth. But the issue isn't just talking and texting anymore. Drivers now are on Snapchat, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Google Maps, Spotify, YouTube, and now Pokemon Go, the video game that has captured the world's attention and has become the latest concern for distracted driving advocates. So this is becoming a problem now, and there have been some injuries, and something that, again, it's like a new invention comes out or a new game, and then there has to be laws to regulate it because people are getting hurt.
Right, yeah, it's kind of sad in the way that we always have to you put in laws that restrict how people play it because it gets unsafe or take it to extremes. And I did see a story where someone sideswiped a cop car while they were playing Pokemon Go.
Baltimore. That's a man crashed his vehicle into a parked police car. That's a mistake.
Yeah, it's a bad day if there ever was one. You think they come up with a device that you can put in your car that disables your phone or something like that? Except for calls that they would stop those things from happening, because people are demonstrating that they're not responsible enough to handle that. And I mean, I think driving's one of those things, responsibilities people take too lightly, or it's riding a bike when you're actually driving a 2,000-pound missile that can kill someone, yourself, or damage property. And it is just a little scary how integrated our phones are, where we can't even put them down while we're driving.
There's another example of a teenager who drove their it was a girl. She drove her truck into a power pole, and they think she was playing Pokemon Go while that was happening. So really interesting just to see the increase in some danger from some of these video games. Seems kind of I think probably the first thing I would think of is, well, it's a bit of a time waster. But now it's actually getting physically dangerous to play some of these games. And it's not just that game. As they mentioned, there's a lot of distractions out there. Every time there's a new thing that people want to, use, whether it's Snapchat, Facebook, etc., Instagram, Google Maps. I guess at least your excuse there is you're trying to find where you're going.
Right.
But still, same result if you're not careful. So people have to be careful with some of those devices. That's not a bad idea that you had there about something in a vehicle that would block the phone. That would be. I wonder if there is something like that. That would be a good invention. Make a lot of money. Parents would definitely buy that for their kids.
Right. Yeah. I have no idea how to create something like that. But I'm sure there is something out there like that. But yeah, just it's a safe zone. And it needs to be.
It's a safe space.
Yes. Yeah.
Go to my safe space.
Yeah.
Yeah. So interesting. Some of the different things that are happening there. This is a headline from. I guess you'd consider it entertainment, sports related world. Skip Bayless. I don't know if you've heard of him. He's a pretty famous sports journalist. Been around a long time. He's actually from the Oklahoma City area. Kind of interesting. He left ESPN recently, joining Fox Sports. And there's been kind of a talent drain, I guess, out of ESPN. They've been leaving, going other places, including Fox. And he said, too many people in charge at ESPN, for my taste, were a little too fearful. Bayless tells The Hollywood Reporter in an interview, officially revealing his move. He says it's a Disney network, and there are just certain boundaries that you can't even tiptoe along. Not that we won't have boundaries at Fox, because we will, but they trust me to go a little deeper. So he wants to get into more of these, in-depth stories. And ESPN, from what he said, was a little more careful about you can't investigate this star or that star because they're a big moneymaker for us. But why I thought it was interesting is because ESPN has also been in the headlines for getting rid of some people that were more on the conservative side. Kurt Schilling, I believe, was one of the guys recently. And so they're being very liberal, very careful, I guess, in what they're saying. You can't say certain things about certain topics. And because of that, they have people leaving.
Yeah, this is really interesting because you're seeing how political correctness and other society rules, I guess, that are being imposed on us are getting transferred away from news and other places where you normally see it and into sports, where you think that necessarily wouldn't be an issue. So it is interesting to see this transformation, how they just have to be very careful and politically correct, and how they're even attacked or criticized if they say something wrong, or if someone's opinion that they hire or works for them doesn't fit into a certain narrative or message, I guess, they're trying to get across. So, I mean, even though it's sports journalism, it still is journalism, and it is, and reporting, and it's just interesting to see how even that's being affected by what we're seeing in society, and it's, I mean, it is sad in a way, because ESPN has come up with a lot of great things over the years, and with the talent drain, it'd be interesting to see how they try to compensate for that, or if they have to try to change the network to fit that.
Yeah, they Bill Simmons, he left there a while ago or was fired or something, some sort of parting of ways, and he was quite popular as well. So there at any network or anything like that, there usually is some sort of an agenda. You wouldn't think it would show up in sports, but it does. And I think when Schilling got fired, they told him basically like, hey, you're here to talk about baseball. You know, don't talk about anything else, which I don't necessarily disagree with that. I mean, if you're paid to talk baseball, talk baseball. You don't need to bring up all your other views. But it is interesting because they are allowed to support very liberal causes and be pretty open about those on some shows, but not the conservative ones. And people are taken off because of it. And it'd be interesting to see if it hurts their network overall.
Yeah, it is. There is a double standard, and especially even when those opinions are expressed through their own private, like Twitter or social media, or it's their own opinion or not even on the show, but because they work for them, they get fired. That's interesting too, because although that there is, it's a right of the employer to do that. It is interesting to see, and it reminds me of in Canada, CBC. I think they made a horrible mistake. They used to do Hockey Night in Canada, and Don Cherry's on there. And if you don't know, Don Cherry is very outspoken. He was a coach for the Boston Bruins. Now he's a sports commentator, very famous for being outspoken on anything he wants. And he wears these outlandish suits that he looks like are made from old couches found at Value Village. he says this is the craziest suits you'll ever see. But very flamboyant. But it's what's interesting with him, he says lots of things. Even if he comes under fire, he doesn't care. He defends his point. I'm not sure if he's ever really apologized for anything he said. So CBC kind of got rid of him. But then there was such a huge upheaval because pretty much everyone liked him in the public. Another network picked them up, and CBC lost all their sports pretty much because he was just really popular. And I've never seen that before where pretty much Canada's a small, very small market compared to America, especially CBC. The whole network pretty much tanked for their sports because they got rid of an announcer they didn't necessarily agree with.
Yeah, and that's kind of the question that I think is there with this sort of a situation is the network the thing that makes it successful, or is it the people on the network? And there's been, you know, you can look at like different news outlets that have had people leave, and sometimes those people have floundered because I think they thought they were bigger than they were, but they without the network, they weren't anything. And then there are other cases where, you know, people do leave, and sometimes it does affect the network, like you were saying. So the talent's important, and especially the visionaries behind keeping things going. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. ESPN, of course, is the worldwide leader, so they say, in sports. So I think they'll be okay. But they are having some popular people leave, and a lot of it does have to do with some of the political views. I don't know that was so much with this situation with Bayless, but maybe a little bit. You like Jerry Seinfeld. You're a Seinfeld fan. He's a funny guy.
I am, yeah.
And occasionally we tie things back into something that was on that program. Of course, there was plenty that wasn't good on that show, but he was definitely a funny guy in a way. And very successful, made a lot of money. He has there's a success tip. That's hard to say, by the way. from Seinfeld. This is one of the things that he did to become a success in life. I thought it was interesting. He was talking to this young and upcoming comic, and he said the way to be a better comic, and you could apply this to anything in life, I guess, was to create better jokes, and the way to create better jokes was to write every day. So basically, what he needed to do to be successful was he needed to do his job every day. And it says, this comic says, he told me to get a big wall calendar that has a whole year on one page and hang it on a prominent wall. The next step was to get a big red magic marker. He said, for each day that I do my task of writing, I get to put a big red X over that day. And after a few days, you'll have a chain. He said, just keep at it, and the chain will grow longer every day. You'll like seeing that chain, especially when you get a few weeks under your belt. Your only job is to not break the chain. So, obviously, most people aren't comics, but whatever you're trying to do in life, whatever the goal is, that's an interesting way to think about it. Make that X each day where you completed your goal and see how many days you can string together.
Yeah, that is interesting. It does highlight the point where consistency on doing something really does help you and improve you in ways that you can't do otherwise. And a lot of things just take time, and you have to apply it every day. And I've heard that with writers too. Pretty much every great writer, successful one, writes every day. Like they'll write, I know Max Hastings, he writes 500 words before breakfast. Like that's the goal he tries to get to every single day. And there's other ones who have goals like that. Or like Churchill, it was 1,000 words a day and 500 bricks a day or something like that. He tried to set aside. It's a great principle. And I did read Jerry Seinfeld has a autobiography, kind of. It's called Sign Language. And in there he said he started writing down his thoughts when he was younger, like funny things or just reflections. And that's probably where this got started, where he would just write down things every day, and it grew into that, the joke writing. And it's a good tip, and definitely true. I think any of us who has success in something is because of consistency.
One of the sort of popular things in the U.S. right now is weight loss. People are overweight, so they're trying to lose weight. And there's a lot of stories out there about, you know, the person that was successful doing it. It's kind of an inspiring tale. And in most cases, there's the same principle is there. They made a change. It was a small change, but they were consistent with it, and they did it every day. You know, even if they didn't feel like it, or maybe they had sort of an up or a down little time, they always got back on track. And lo and behold, a year or two, you know, later, they met their goal, but they had to do a little bit every single day.
Yeah, that's a great example, because there are a lot of things out there that promise you, like, oh, in like 20 weeks, 5 minutes a day, you can do this, which is true. But the real change is doing it every single day, even when that time period's over.
Right.
I know from writing too, when I keep writing every day or have a schedule, it's more stressful because you have to try to fit it in and there's deadlines. But I can definitely see a change where I'm better, or my thoughts come across better, and it works out better than just doing it when I feel like it, or just kind of pushing it back. You have to use it to keep it, I guess. Use it or you lose it, as they say.
Yeah, it's good to have a routine and to be scheduled as much as you can. Those are some of the headlines for this day. There's a lot of political headlines, you know, and I just thought, nah, done with that for a while.
Yeah,
nothing of relevance, really, just kind of the same old back and forth. But we do have an interesting story coming up that is related to that, but it is more interesting than just the daily he said, she said, they said, we said. So anyway, we do talk about it, but sometimes you need a break. You need to cleanse the palate.
Exactly.
Key of David programs coming up here in a little bit on KPCG. One of the programs today is How to Understand Bible Prophecy, very important topic. Especially now, because we see a lot of Bible prophecies being fulfilled. Make sure you listen for that program coming up here in a bit on KPCG. And also the Trumpet Daily Radio Show with your host, Stephen Fleury, coming to you from Edstone, England. Talks about how over the weekend, Germany was filled with protests against Angela Merkel's immigration policy. Shouts of "Merkel must go" were the rallying cry of the protesters. With several terror acts over the past couple weeks, tensions are at a boiling point. Merkel is not backing down from her principles, but in the end, it will most likely cost her the leadership of Germany in favor for a leader who promises action. And those were pretty interesting and heated protests over the weekend.
Yeah, I think this is really significant because in America, there's a protest every weekend because it is more of our political culture where it does have more an effect, and the media acts differently, and our generally, our national character is different, where protesting is seen more common. But in Europe, it's not as common. And usually, if you protest, it's because you feel very passionately about something. It takes on a different tone. And with this, it's pretty pretty heated. And there's a lot of anger there because a lot of people are being affected. And she came out and said, like, well, no, we're going to stay the course with the immigration policy. And that's probably the last thing everyone wanted to hear from her. So it will be interesting to see if these continue, if they grow, or if a legitimate political movement starts because of the protests.
Yeah, in a lot of cases, it seems, well, at least just my thinking about it, you know, if it calms down in terms of no more terror attacks, then people probably kind of move on. But if it doesn't calm down, that's when it gets, her hand will be forced. So it'll be interesting to see. Doesn't mean it'll have to go that way, but just as I think about it, it seems like that would be interesting to watch. He also, on the Trump Daily Radio Show, Stephen Fleury talks about Der Spiegel reported on how ISIS teaches and trains children for their jihad. Their pattern of indoctrination uses deception and brutality. Usually they entice the children to the quote-unquote schools with treats and candy and promises of respect. They teach them patriotism to ISIS and the Quran for up to 7 hours a day. They teach the children how to behead by having them behead a doll in an orange jumpsuit. Beating, drugs, cruelty, all of that used to keep the children in line and to discipline them for infractions. The young kids are separated from their families and barely go to visit them. And these are the future troops of ISIS unless they can escape. It's a pretty brutal situation for those young people. And I saw a headline today, too, that they've lost a lot of them, a lot of the people coming in, some of the children, too, coming into Europe. They don't know where they are. And they think that, they could obviously be terrorists, some of them. So that's an unnerving situation that's happening there in Europe. And, of course, we have the same thing here in the U.S.
Right. Yeah, this is interesting, I think, because, number one, it does highlight the brutality of that regime. And should motivate the West to do something about it because it is terrible what they do to the children. But I think it also shows that this kind of way of child soldiers, of how they indoctrinate children, that's not just with ISIS. It's across the whole region where pretty much every similar type of movement, Islamic militant movement, uses these tactics. Palestinians, Saddam Hussein, Iran, ISIS now, like you can go down the list. This is a normal tactic that they use because they're building the future soldiers, but also usually they're short on manpower, so they have to turn to the children. But in this case with ISIS, it's different because they're trying to infiltrate the world too. So if you can get the children in, because they're maybe a little less suspect, and there's some advantages because they have more rights than an adult does in some ways. They're harder to track and everything. So you know, it's a new threat, a new method we haven't seen before in the West. And it's just terrifying, every aspect about it, I think.
Yeah, it's really a brutal regime, and that is highlighted on the Trumpet Daily Radio Show with Stephen Fleury. Also, he talks a little bit about the Philadelphia Youth Camp going on over there at Edstone, and gives you a little bit of insight into that as well. So lots to talk about there on the program. What a difference, huh, between the kids in ISIS and the kids at the youth camp. Couldn't be more different. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk to PCOG.org writer Grant Turgeon about what messages are being sent via social media in this political campaign. We'll talk about that right after this. You're listening to Trumpet Radio Live on 101.3 KPCG.